More than 11 million families in the U.S. pay over half their income on rent. Many pay as much as 80%, especially if they're poor.
That means millions of Americans face the threat of eviction or live in bad housing because it's all they can afford. NPR's Pam Fessler has been reporting on the shortage of affordable housing. She recently spent time at Housing Court, where the struggles between low-income renters and landlords can come to a head. Here's the first in a series of reports.
In some places, it's called rent court, others eviction court. In Washington, D.C., it's the landlord-tenant branch. And every weekday morning, dozens of tenants can be seen filing into the three-story courthouse where their futures could be at stake. Everyone goes through a metal detector, women with small children, elderly tenants with walkers and canes. Others gathering in the hallway wear work uniforms. They're nurses' aides, security guards, grocery store clerks. This city's population is less than half African American, but almost every tenant here is Black. The white people are usually the attorneys. We can't record inside the courtroom, but if we could, you'd hear the judge tell everyone it might be hours before their case comes up. You'd also hear the long wooden pews squeak as people shift in their seats during the lengthy roll call. There are usually over 100 cases a day. Most involve tenants being sued by their landlords for failing to pay the rent.
My name is Lisa Brown. I live in Southeast Washington, D.C. in Atlantic Terrace.
Outside the courthouse, Brown calls herself the new face of the could-be homeless.
I'm currently $6,000 plus in the rear of that old rent.
She's just reached a settlement with her landlord. She has a couple of weeks to come up with the money, or she'll be evicted from her apartment, which she shares with her three kids and a grandchild. Brown works at a hotel and customer service, but it isn't enough.
I am considered what they call full-time, but I'm guaranteed only 32 hours per week.
So she's counting on her tax refund check to avoid eviction.
But again, my train could be derailed at any given time. I have an electric bill that's due right now.
And there's also next month's rent, another $1,200. Brown's story is typical here and in other housing courts across the nation, where tenants tend to be mothers working low-wage jobs. Very few of them get government housing aid. The irony is that Brown, like many tenants, had to miss work and a day's pay to come to court. Her landlord did not. About 90% of landlords have attorneys. Most tenants don't.
Tenants often don't know what their rights are. They enter into agreements that settle the cases that are very unfavorable to them.
Rebecca Lindhurst is with Bread for the City, one of the few groups that provides pro bono legal aid to renters. She says they can only handle a small number of cases, which is unfortunate for everyone else.
For instance, lots of tenants are sued for non-payment of rent, and in those situations, they have the right to raise a defense of housing code violations. And oftentimes, tenants don't know that they have that right, or they're afraid or uncertain how to present such a defense.
And outside the courtroom, there does seem to be a lot of confusion. Tenants huddle with their landlord's attorneys, who carry stacks of folders for each of their many cases. The judge has encouraged everyone to try to work out an agreement on their own or with a court-appointed mediator to help lighten the court's load.
I'm not going to tell you it's not stressful. It's extremely stressful.
Judge Judith Bartnoff presides over the Civil Division of D.C.'s Superior Court. She says judges rotate weekly through the landlord-tenant branch, in part because the workload can be so draining. This one court handled 32,000 cases last year alone. Bartnoff says they try to be as fair as possible to both sides.
There are a lot of protections that tenants have in the District of Columbia, and that's part of the reason the caseload is so high.
In fact, D.C. has among the most progressive tenant laws in the country, and landlords say it's very hard for them to get a bad renter out. A judge must agree to an eviction, and tenants can request a jury trial, stretching the process out for months. Indeed, some tenants come to court armed with photos of moldy windowsills, leaky furnaces, and backed-up sinks to make the case for not paying their rent, like Joy Wilson.
You have my water that is orange. You can see it, like, kind of leaking down. You can tell, it's leaking. That's the color of the water.
She stopped paying her rent last July in the hope of getting her landlord to make repairs. Wilson shows me another photo of a sink covered in a greasy residue that she says bubbled up from the drain, emitting a foul odor.
Oh, that's really gross.
Mm-hmm. And then you could see it's food and everything else from somebody else's house.
Wilson ended up owing her landlord thousands of dollars. Her case was supposed to go to trial on this day, but at the last minute, she and her landlord reached a deal, which is pretty common. Tenants know an eviction record will haunt them, so many pay up at the last minute or just move out. But the process can take months. Landlords here say in the end, the system is stacked against them.
The saying amongst landlords is the case isn't over until the tenant wins.
Art Knowles owns apartments in some of the city's poorer neighborhoods. We're sitting in one of them now, a one-bedroom that rents for about $950 a month. Knowles says it can cost him thousands of dollars in legal fees to get a non-paying tenant out, and that's money he needs for things like heat, snow removal, and maintenance.
I'm not just a money-loving, blood-sucking landlord. I mean, it's a symbiotic relationship that my business only works if people pay their rent and respect the property and not tear it up.
He says, like other landlords, he'll bend over backwards to help a tenant through a difficult time, but that some tenants are just too much trouble. He's even paid a few of them to leave.
As soon as I see your stuff loaded in a U-Haul truck and you hand me the keys, I will give you five $100 bills.
He says that's cheaper than going to court, and that might have been some of the thinking in Joy Wilson's case. Her landlord's attorney refused to comment, but her landlord did agree to forgive all of her back rent, $7,400, as long as she was out by the end of the month. Pam Fessler, NPR News.